we start off by talking about what a total solar eclipse is and why are people so excited about it?
Well, a total solar eclipse occurs when the moon completely blocks the sun. And it's quite rare. It happens about once every year and a half to 2 years somewhere on Earth. But happening over, say, America or something like that, that can be quite rare. We haven't had a total solar eclipse since 1979, and that was only over a small portion of America. We haven't had a coast-to-coast solar eclipse like the one occurring on August 21st since 1918.
You're the author of the book America's First Great Eclipse. That happened July 29th, 1878?
It did.
I imagine there are some similarities, even though that was a long time ago. What kind of lengths did people go to get to Denver or to Colorado Springs, which was kind of an epicenter?
We know today that people are making plans to see this upcoming great eclipse, but Americans back in 1878 were very excited about the eclipse as well. But it was very different. They couldn't just get in their car and drive to see it. I mean, this was 1878. The Transcontinental Railroad had just been completed less than 10 years prior. The Civil War was still a recent memory for many people. So, and the West was still the Wild West. It was the frontier. Many of the states that we now know were still territories, like Wyoming. Colorado had just become a state in 1876. So it was only 2 years old when they knew that this eclipse was going to go over the Rocky Mountains. So tourists came west not only to see the eclipse, but also to see the Rockies for the first time, many of them.
So I know a lot of people are flocking right now to these small, underpopulated towns, maybe. What was it like back in 1878?
Well, it was very similar. I mean, Colorado Springs, for example, had barely around 5,000 people, and they didn't have the advantage of the internet and people to do their Airbnb bookings. So people just started showing up. I mean, they had a sense that maybe Eastern, you know, tourists and some Europeans would come, but they never knew how many. And as the eclipse got closer, they started, you know, trains started showing up, disgorging, as they said, hundreds of people a day in Colorado Springs, in Denver, up in Wyoming. Extra cars were added to these trains to accommodate people. And before long, the hotels were filled. And like in Colorado Springs, one hotel owner started renting out local livery stables, the barns, to house tourists. And he put the tourists there instead of horses.
One thing that kind of struck me, too, is that it was not just about seeing the eclipse. It was kind of a social event, being seen seeing the eclipse.
Absolutely. Eclipses were very popular events throughout the 19th century. And then the British, I kind of also did it in style, being you know, colonialists and having their empire. But in America, it was something similar. Tourism was very popular. This was a time when, after the Civil War, America was at relative peace. And more money was flowing into doing things like tourism. So those with money would go and have these, would go out to these sorts of things. And they would strut around in front of each other, that sort of thing. I mean, one local hotel in Colorado Springs hired a band to play Beethoven and stuff, classical music, during the eclipse for its posh guests.
Was there any kind of post-eclipse benefit for some of these places in the Wild West?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think the eclipse was really a chance for many of these cities to showcase their town. I mean, every local town, even Denver, which was probably the biggest, was eager to get, you know, to increase their population, because, you know, every city was just trying to sort of keep themselves stable. I mean, these were cities that could have folded as quickly as they grew. The eclipse they saw as a great opportunity to showcase themselves and try to encourage others to move out there.
In the book, you write that the eclipse changed the field of astronomy in significant ways. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest change was that American astronomers were already considered some of the best in the world. They had a lot of respect from their European counterparts. But what Europe didn't have was the Rockies. And Europeans, you know, since Isaac Newton has suspected that observing astronomy at higher altitudes would be better because you're up above the atmosphere. You're not, you know, the atmosphere isn't diffracting light and blocking, you know, light of distant stars. But they never really had the chance to experience it. The 1878 eclipse occurred over the Rockies. The highest observing point was Pikes Peak at 14,000 feet. But many of the other astronomers, and there were close to 200 of them, were observing it on the high plains or even on, you know, in, say, places like Leadville or Georgetown, which, you know, 10,000 feet, give or take. And it was a chance for all these astronomers to sort of compare notes about observing at high altitude. And the long and short of it is they realized that, yes, we can see much better. We can get much better views at these high altitudes. And from that point forward, you start to see these really neat big observatories popping up in the West and then in the 20th century around the world. And now it's a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Steve Ruskin, author of America's First Great Eclipse, How Scientists, Tourists, and the Rocky Mountain Eclipse of 1878 Changed Astronomy Forever. Thank you so much for talking with me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Aaron.
For KUNC, I'm Aaron O'Toole.